So do you, I mean, apart from these events though, where you go and you enjoy the film with an audience, do you ever sit down with them yourself just to watch them at all, or is it just kind
Oh,
of like,
sure.
oh, you know, really? Okay.
No. I love, after I've talked to them, I love to sit down and watch the movie with them to hear how they respond to what I've told them.
And what do you see, after these many, many times of watching the films? But I mean, It's a Wonderful Life in particular, I guess. Do you ever notice things in the films that you hadn't noticed before? And what might an example of one of those things be, of something that you thought, oh gosh, I really hadn't thought of that, or I really hadn't seen that before on screen?
Well, I see things different in the background, in the story, all kinds of different things. Every time I watch the movie, I really do. One of the things that really stood out for me not too long ago was every time you see the blackbird fly in on Uncle Billy, that means Mr. Potter's bearing down on the Bailey Building and Loan.
Oh, so it's a symbolism thing.
Yes, there's a lot of symbolism in the film, and of course I'm going to try to tell people about that before they watch the film. So that's what's fun, because then I sit there with them and I hear them, "Oh, look there." So it makes it fun for me.
Oh yeah, it's got to be. It's always wonderful to hear the audience reaction whenever they recognize something that you've been talking about to
Right.
watch out for during the film, I reckon.
It's fun.
Well, I asked some people on through social media to send me some of their questions that they wanted to ask you, and so of course, and this is one of my own questions as well, is, you were on It's a Wonderful Life. You were working with Jimmy Stewart, who is playing your father in the film, and I wanted to know kind of what it was like to work with him, and what, even though your time with him on screen is short, how was he to you as a young performer?
Well, you hit the number one question. Everyone asks me, what was it like to work with Jimmy Stewart? That's the one. That's the best question and the most often asked. My response to that would be that he was a very gentle and kind man. He was also patient, and he was really tall. He was 6 feet 4. And I'm just a little girl, and I'm on his back or on his arms, and I'm always up high. I found that very fascinating, but I had all the confidence in the world that he wouldn't drop me, and he just was a really, really nice man. I think he kind of helped to develop a chemistry between us by chatting with me and, kind of taking time to get to know me a little bit. I always appreciate pre I appreciated that, now as I look back, that I think that was a real gift to me.
So you had those two scenes. There's one with you in the bed, of course, when he comes up to visit your room, and then there's the big scene at the end of the film where there's a big celebration happening. And so as a 6-year-old, to be experiencing these things, I guess you had had some small bit parts in films, and so I guess was this pretty much your, I guess theoretically, your largest role to date at the point when you did this role?
No, I don't think so. I had had some larger parts.
Oh, okay.
I think that he, I guess what I really carry with me is the fact that when people started watching the film in about 1980, something around at that time, actually, people started writing him and asking him what happened to the little girl, Zuzu. And he actually took the time to find me. And so we were kind of reunited after all that time. I think the movie meant a great deal to him, and that little girl was a part of it. And he made an effort to be a very special person. He just was the greatest. He really was.
Well, he did name that film. I think I've read a couple of interviews where he named it as his favorite film. Yeah.
It was Frank Capra's favorite film that he ever did, too.
And it touches people.
And that was before it really became very popular, you know.
Well, I think the film, I mean, like, I find myself weeping every time I watch the movie.
everyone does.
Once a
you
year.
Know what? You
yeah.
can watch it over and over, and you still shed tears.
Yeah. And I think it touches something in everybody. I once wrote an essay about it, about how I think that one of the messages in it is that your life really matters. And I'm getting choked up when I say this right now, you know, is that,
yes.
you know, is that you touch every person and your life matters to somebody else and their life matters to another person, et cetera. And it's all a big interconnected chain. And this is the central message of the film, I believe, is that we all matter to one another.
That's right. We all make a difference, and we're all important. I just think that's the basic message. But there are so many other messages in the movie. It's just chock full of wonderful little pieces of information that can help you get through life and inspire you. I just did a show this last weekend, and people were telling me how, you know, they were so depressed and they get down during the year, and they put that movie on, and they feel a lot better about themselves, a lot better about the world. Gives them hope to go on.
Did you carry that with you throughout your own life? I mean, I know you've had many hard times with the passing of a husband and your son as well. I mean, is this something that where, it, you know, you came back to it on your own at the same time?
Well, I guess God gave me something that maybe he didn't give other people. I don't know, but I have this sense that I already sort of knew that people are important and that each person has a place in life. When I watched the movie, but you know what? I get more from the people who've seen the movie and who talk to me. That's where my reward comes in, and that's where I have the positive energy and the great feelings from these people. And it's love. I mean, there's so much love from people who watch this movie. And they figure I'm this person who watched the movie with them every year at Christmas time. You know, I'm part of their family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm part of their Christmas celebration. And I get this huge love from these people, and the tears and joy, and I don't know, I just absolutely love it. To me, that's where I really get blessed.
What's the most common thing that somebody says to you when they come up and meet you for the first time?
Well, most of the time, they're pretty excited about it, but they say that movie changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened over and over again.
Wow. Your line that you have, the line, every time a bell rings, an angel gets
uh-huh.
its wings. You know, I at what point did you realize, it couldn't have been when you were 6 years old, but at one point did you realize, my goodness, this is one of the most iconic lines in movie history, and I'm the one who delivered it?
Well, I didn't have a clue until, you know, I would guess maybe about 2000, actually.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the movie was popular, and I was doing things for the film, but it sort of started snowballing, and that's when I realized, wow. Because when it became public domain, see, I had never even seen the movie till 1980.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, it just took a while for me to really, it was about, you know, that time that I finally realized I'm really a piece of film history.
How had
and
you gone all
line
the? Yeah,
is the real deal.
How had you gone all those years without having seen the movie?
Well, I was raising seven kids.
Ah, yes.
And need I say more?
Right.
You know, I kind of lived in the kitchen, the car, and the laundry room.
Yeah.
In essence, and I guess I thought I'm not going to make my kids watch this show because I'm in it. You know, I mean that. So I never really made them watch the show, which I regret very much. But I never really watched it because I just was always having something else. I was very active in my church and seemed like the Christmas season was involved with choir and kids. And then in 1980, that's when someone knocked on my door and they said, here I am in Kansas. They said, were you the little girl that was in the movie It's a Wonderful Life? And I said, yes. They said, were you Zuzu? And I said, uh-huh. Well, can we have an interview? So I had a lot of memorabilia in the basement. It was all in boxes. I said, sure. So we set a date. I brought all this stuff upstairs. And we had an interview. And that was it. And I didn't think any more about it. Because the only time that I ever even mentioned it to my kids, anything about my little career, was maybe they took a picture to show and tell when they were little. That was about it. But then the next week, somebody else came and knocked on the door. Same thing. And then it went all kinds of newspapers. And then I started getting fan mail.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, of course, then it was snail mail. And I was blown away. I was truly blown away. And that's when I realized, wow, there's something about this movie that's touched people, and I need to find out about what it is. So that's when I sat down and watched the film.
And when did you start doing these kind of tours where you go out with the film?
Well, in 1993, the Target Company reunited the Bailey kids and sent us on a tour around the country. And I really, really enjoyed that. That's when I really got to meet people and hear their stories and touch their lives and share. It was such a beautiful experience that I sort of liked it. So then I started gradually doing it more and more and more. And now it's, you know, I was able to do that. My kids were grown, and it was after my husband died. And I was free bird. So I figure, I guess it was meant to be. I don't know.
And how far has that taken you? Where's been the farthest that you've gone with the film?
Hong Kong, and of course it's the second favorite Christmas movie in the United Kingdom. So I've been there a number of times.
Wow. So that's
actually
just,
they show it on the big screen at Christmas more than we do here.
Wow. Yeah, that's one thing that I'm glad it's kind of starting to come back, the idea of putting retro and old movies on the big screen again throughout the year. So I'm glad that it's kind of coming back, but I do wish that there were more opportunities to see not just It's a Wonderful Life, but lots of different older movies on the big screen oftentimes, because it's such an emotional way to see the movie and an overwhelming way to see it blown up on a big screen and with an audience, I think, which is how movies really, really work. The funny moments are funnier because people react to it. The emotional moments are more emotional at the same time as well. And so you get, and you notice again, as you were speaking of, subtle things on screen that you hadn't really noticed before, perhaps when just watching on your television set at the same time.
That's right. You're absolutely correct.
Well,
go ahead. I thoroughly enjoy watching the old movies on the big screen.
Well, just the same as with Jimmy Stewart, I think that Cary Grant is another iconic actor, and I think the other question that came in that everybody wants to know is about Cary Grant and the Bishop's Wife, and again, your working relationship on the set on that film as well.
Oh, man, he was the best. He was a funny guy, and he loved kids. He loved kids, and so it was really a fun thing for me to get to go. I called it play with him because he would read me stories and tell me stories, and it was really fascinating. And there really was an ice skating rink on the stage, and so he would come and get me every day at lunchtime, and he'd pull me around on a sled and practice his ice skating.
It would seem to be wonderful to just to have.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, to have, be pulled on a sled by Cary Grant. But I think those of us who love his voice, the sound of his voice, would just love to have Cary Grant read us stories too.
Oh yes, indeed.
I mean, the idea of having Cary Grant read you stories is just a dream. I think for many people.
He loved it.
So how did you, as a young actor, also actress, how did you get cast in these particular roles as well, both of them? Are they, were you part of, in the studio at the time, or was it a case where, you know, you auditioned for these films?
Well, during those days in Hollywood, most of the child actors had the same agent.
Mm-hmm.
And her name was Lola Moore. And, in fact, like the kids that were in It's a Wonderful Life, they all had the same agent. We all had the same agent. And she would get a call from the studio saying they wanted, you know, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed kid or whatever, and she'd send the person out that she thought, you know, the persons in her stable that were good for the job or the part. And that's kind of the way it went. So, I mean, it was all... It was not an audition, it was an interview in those days. And so we would wait in the office, and then we'd meet with the casting director or whoever wanted to be involved. So for It's a Wonderful Life, Frank Capra handpicked me.
Mm-hmm.
We had a one-on-one interview.
And what were the kind of questions that he asked you when he was... interviewing
well,
you.
One of the things I remember, you know, most of the time you don't remember things like that, but I remember, you know, I couldn't read yet.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't give you anything to read. You took a portfolio with you that had different pictures of expressions that you could make, you know, and you're sad, you're happy, or whatever. But I remember he said, now, Carolyn, he said, show me how you would feel if your dog died, your favorite pet, and he died. How would you look? I can remember that as clear as day.
Did you turn on the waterworks at that point?
No, I didn't do that, but I must have looked awfully sad.
It got you the part.
Yes.
It wasn't into the 1950s, I guess, that you kept on working a little bit, and then after that, you know, stepping out of the business as well. Did you ever, during the time that you were, you know, a working mother and raising children, ever think, I wonder what if, in terms of your brief Hollywood career?
Nah. Never even occurred to me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I was rescued.
Yeah.
By even though, well, you know, my mother started getting sick when I was 8 years old, so that was difficult. And then when she died, I was 14, and then my father got killed a year later. And that was very difficult. And then the court in Hollywood shipped me to a little town, Missouri, to live with my father's brother and his mean wife. Those things happened in succession, and I felt like my world had ended pretty much. I mean, I was just devastated. I lost my mother, my father, my home, my dog. You know, my school, my friends, mm-hmm. Everything was gone. And then I went back to this little town. I was going to L.A. High. There were 900 kids in my class in this little bitty town. There were 800 people. But it was a small enough town that they knew the people, the merchants, my teachers, my friends. They all knew the miserable home that I landed in. And you know what? They rallied around me. It took me about a year, but they rallied around me. They became genuine friends. They were sincere people, and I found out what the Midwest was all about. And I really never wanted to go back to that artificial, superficial land of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't appeal to me anymore. So I knew I had to get out of the mess I was in there. So I went to school. I got an education. But I had no desire to go back. So I sort of feel like I was sort of destined to go on that path, because I think I had to learn some lessons, and one of them was compassion, because I've had to have so much compassion for the fans who come to talk to me and share the stories of how life has been with them. And, you know, sometimes I think there's a certain, I don't know, they feel better, a comfort maybe, to know that someone else has been in their shoes and has felt the pain that they're feeling. I think that helps them get through whatever they're going through a little easier. But anyway, I just never wanted to go back, and because I felt like, you know, in the end, I think that's what I was supposed to do. A lot of my friends got in trouble. You know, it just was not a great place to be raised.
Well, it sounds like, you know, there was the greater path for you ahead, I believe.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I said it sounds like, I guess, there was the greater path for you ahead, I believe, then. You know, that there was a greater plan for you ahead.
There you go. Now you're trying to hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was a greater plan for me, and I think I had some lessons to learn. And, of course, you still learn lessons all your life, still learning lessons, but I really feel like there was a path I had to take.
Good. Well, Carolyn, thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I'm really looking forward to, I guess it's about a month from now, I believe, that you'll be here in Texas.
Hey, that's right. It's the first week in December.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, great.
Well, Merry Christmas in advance, and we'll see you when you get here. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.